Yesterday it was, I believe. Yeah, my wife and I were out in public, and I can't believe that she takes me out in public too. So, but she took me out in public yesterday, and I noticed that this isn't any. Just don't read nothing into this what I'm about to say. I noticed a couple of black fellas over here, and they were just goofing off and stuff, and I thought if anybody would come over and say anything about, because I'm a white guy and I happened to look their direction, what is your problem? And then that didn't happen, but the thought jumped into my mind is what matters. What matters? What the things in life? What matters? What really matters in life? Racial issues, they don't matter. They don't. It's just an issue that somebody brings up. There's things in life that are much more important than that. There's things in life that have much more weight to it and much more strength to it. And my mind just locked into the Lord, and the Lord started speaking to me, and he began to put in my heart the things that really matters. What really matters in your life? And then all of a sudden, the Lord kind of spoke to my heart, and then it just kind of dropped a word in my life, in my heart, and so tonight my title to this message is the things that matter in this life, the things that truly matter in this life. This is not in no certain order or anything, because it just doesn't come that way. But as the Lord ministered to my heart, the first thing that I feel that matters in life is your salvation. Where are you at with your salvation? Are you saved? Are you born again? That really truly matters. Because Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, told him that unless a man be born again, he will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we need to remember and understand that. That's one of the things, the weightier things that matters. Salvation is one of the big things that has happened to all of us in our life, because that has set our feet on a course towards heaven and given us the mind to be able to walk out this life. And so tonight I want to let you know that salvation really matters, truly matters. You need to maintain your salvation. You can't just let it to just sit there and run your car out of oil, so to speak, and not do anything about it. But let the Spirit of God work in your life. Let your salvation. You have to work it out with a fear and a trembling. You have to stand on the Word of God, and you have to seek after God's face, and it's imperative that you do that, because if you don't, then your life, your spiritual life, will die. It'll wane down to the point where that you'll back off and back away from the things of God, and just kind of hit and miss coming to church and reading your Word and praying and seeking God's face, and then pretty soon you'll be back into the position and place that you once was, and maybe even worse. If you get to that place and that point of backsliding. But salvation. Psalms says this in 37 and verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, and he is their strength in the time of trouble. You have received strength in the time of your trouble because you have received salvation. You've given God full work in your life, and you've opened the doors to your life to God, closed the doors to the world and the devil and the things of the world. You stood up and you said, yes, Lord, and you let God walk into your life. Now you're at that point and place where you're beginning to start to walk this thing out, and this one thing truly matters to you in your life. It does. It matters to every man, woman, and child, that unless they give their hearts to the Lord, then we know where their destination is. But we thank God today that he's given us a destination of heaven, and he's given us the mind of Christ. And once he has saved us and he's brought us out of the darkness, he's given us the encouragement to be able to step forward and to be the people of God. Hallelujah. Bless God and the Almighty. Today is the day of salvation. We need to grab a hold of that and stand on it. Young people, I need you to step forward and to be the people of God that God has called you out to be. And I'm watching you, and you're encouraging me with the status that you're at. And I thank God for that tonight. You know, the Lord will press you forward, and he's going to give you a few more harder tasks to have to follow. But it's truly up to you and truly up to me whether I'm going to follow after that or not and be obedient to God. Isaiah says this in chapter 12 and verse 2. He says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." I remember when God brought me out of and where he did, and when I was unsaved, and I thank God for that tonight. I remember the person that I once was, and the devil does come back, and he does whisper into my ear and tries to remind me or tries to tell me that oh, Clifford, you're losing it, boy. You're starting to fall away from the Lord, and he begins to press me, and he begins to push me. I remember that the devil come up to me and audibly spoke into my ear and said, "You're not saved. You're not saved." And I thought to myself, "Oh no." And I started to talk to the old boy. "Oh, maybe I'm not. How do I know that I am?" Oh, and then I kind of went through a little bit of a conversation, a back and forth, you know, but then all of a sudden God settled me and settled it in my heart. And I said, "Okay, devil, if I'm not saved, then why are you coming to here and bothering me with this? Why are you tormenting me? If you've got me, then why are you bothering me? God's got me. God has got me. God has gotten a hold of me. I have received God's salvation in my life. Oh, thank you, Lord." It can make you have that big smile on your face, and people look at you and think like, "What's the matter with you? Ah, I'm saved. That's what's wrong with me." There was a fella at work. I'm trying to beat on him with a salvation stick and trying to get that fella saved, but there, you know, you just can't do that. Well, he told me one day, this is just for a sidebar. He told me one day that you know, if God would give me the winning ticket to the lottery, then I'd believe him. And I said, "Well, he gave you the winning ticket to the lottery." "What?" I said, "Yeah, he gave you the winning ticket to the lottery when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, gave his life on Calvary's hill, and saved me and saved you and give his life for all of us. And now that you know this, you're responsible for that. It's called the plan of salvation. It's the way that God has ordained things. That blood of Christ is the biggest lottery ticket than anybody could ever hit." My wife looked at me, I said, when I said that if God would give me the winning lottery ticket, then she was going like, no, he wouldn't. He still wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. He would be on his way to, you know, being broke. You see, a lot of things in life that people think matters doesn't really matter. You know, like money. Money is just a means. It's a tool. We all would like to have more of it. All would like to have our toolbox full. Yes, we would. I would love to retire today. I would love it if you could too, brother. I would love it if you could retire yesterday. But those things that the world thinks matters don't really matter at all. Now, this is just, like I said, this isn't in any order or anything. So what matters in life is God and Jesus. They matter in life, and they go hand in hand with salvation, because God is the one that saves us, and Jesus Christ is the one that paid for the penalty. But Ephesians says this, chapter 3 and verse 20, how that God matters. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages of the world, and all ages and the world without end. Amen." To him who can do exceedingly and abundantly above that which we can think or ask. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for you being God, who can do exceedingly and abundantly which we could even think or ask. Through the name of Jesus Christ, we've given our lives to God. Thank you, Lord. 2 Timothy says this, chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, yes, Lord. I know that you're able, you're more than able to keep that which I have committed against that day, Lord. And I know what you can do, God. God, you've spoken this world into existence, and God, you've done the mighty and the great. And Lord, help us to do the practical so that you'll do the impractical, Lord. Help us to do the possible, Lord, so that you'll step into the impossible realm for us. For with these things, for with men, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So let help us, Lord Father. We thank God for his goodness tonight. God is what matters in this world. The Word matters. The Word of God matters. You know, I've heard people put down the Bible and say all manners of things about it, but I think God tonight that I have received the Word of God and I believe it as it. I thank God for his Word tonight because his Word speaks to me. When his Word speaks to me, then it begins to tell me what I must do and what I shouldn't do and what I can do. Psalm says this chapter in chapter 19 and verse 8. It said, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your word matters, Lord. You know, your word is such a light as this. Me and my brother James went fishing with my uncle Fred and his two boys. And we used to go camping and fishing down at Kishwaukee, a river. And it was where the river bent around real hard. And it was behind a farm of this old fellow by the name of John Peterson. He was a dairy farmer and he was a good old boy. And he would give us the key to his gate to get us down back behind there. And goes, now you all watch my cows when you're driving down there. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you guys don't hit none of my cattle and then you can have fun. And so we'd give him a little bit of money and we'd all go back there and we'd spend the night or spend the weekend back there. So one evening we were fishing down around the corner. Don't say out on the street or anything and start singing that song to me because it just went into my head. As the river bent like this, there was like a sandbar that stuck out. So we went down on that edge of that sandbar. We were fishing a little bit, and I caught a catfish that big. Swear it, I did. Channel cat, and he was barely able to grab a hold of the hook. But it was getting to be sunset, and it was getting a little darker. And I began to walk around the edge of the river. And it was like somebody just switched the light off. And when I was walking through the woods, the world, my atmosphere just changed. I couldn't tell where I was at because there was no city lights and there wasn't anything to be able to find where I'm at. All I can know is I'm here in the river right over here. And I don't know where my path was. And I know there's a barbed wire fence going across my path. And if I don't watch out, I'm going to get wrapped up in barbed wire or fall in the river. And it's kind of a deep hole right over here in this spot right here. And it was dangerous for me. And so I just stopped. I couldn't see anything. I said, Freddie, I said, you're going to have to turn that flashlight on, buddy. You're going to have to come over and give me some light. And so I just held still. And then he came over and he hit his flashlight. It was just a regular little small flashlight, but it was like a big spotlight. And he shined it onto the path. And it showed me the way to get away from the river and not fall in the river and not step on that barbed wire fence and get myself in trouble and get my legs all cut up, you know, because I'd did have wonderful looking legs, but they worn off, and now I'm only 5 foot something. Used to be four and, used to be taller. But when somebody shined a light on my path, then I could see where to go. Because the Word of God has shined a light on my path, now I can miss the dangers, and I can miss the dangers of life because it speaks to me and it tells me where they're at. When your whole atmosphere has turned dark and everything around you and you can't see your way out of the mess that you're in, the only thing that you can do is hold still and let God work with you and speak to you. Open up your Bible and begin to read the Word of God. If you can't get a word from God and God's not speaking to you and not dealing with your heart, then you open up your Bible and the Word of God will deal with you and the Word of God will speak to you. It'll give you direction in your life and it'll give you strength and it'll give you the mind of Christ. It'll let you know what God wants, and to let you know the will of God. We need to know the will of God so that we might walk in the will of God. If we don't know God's will, then how in the world are we going to be able to stand in the will of God and to be in the will of God if we don't know it? That is why the Word of God is a light unto your path. And it shows you, it gives you direction. Yes, the Word of God matters. It's one of the stronger and weightier things in God that does. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 says that we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Psalms says this, that the statutes of the Lord are right. I can hear Brother I can hear Brother Dan singing this song, I think. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. You see, as we have spoke to you tonight, that we know that God's Word will give us direction. God's Word will show us where to go. God's Word will make you angry at times. Oh, I don't have to do that. Or should say, oh, I don't want to do that. We'll look at it sometimes and say, oh my, I've been in error. Sister Barb Gottman had been going to a Lutheran church for quite some time. And she was a woman of faith and a woman of God. And she was serving God in a Lutheran church. And she was reading her word. And as she was reading the word of God, it opened up to her. And then all of a sudden that she realized and understood that the pastor was not preaching what the word of God has to say. So she repented and gave her heart to the Lord, and God touched her life, and she moved out of the Lutheran church and got into the Pentecostal realm and in the Pentecostal arena. And I'm not saying that the Pentecost is the only church in town. No, I'm not saying that to you. But what I'm telling you is that she found the truth in the Word of God, and she began to follow it, and she stood on it because God showed her the direction that she needed to go. If myself and your pastor is in error, you need to say something or do something. But you need to read your Word of God, because if you don't know the Word of God, then you won't know when somebody's lying to you. They can stand behind a pulpit and they can make it sound good and they can twist the Word of God. And folks, that is why you need to study to show yourself approved and to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, knowing what the Word of God says and what it tells thee to do. And when you hear the wrong message, then you recognize it right away. If you have that light inside of you, all of a sudden it will shine on the mistake that is being forged in your face. Now, family. Family matters. I just thought, wasn't that a show? Family is important. That's why when my wife's sister came over this afternoon, I didn't get all bent out of shape. I hope it didn't. I tried. But our family means the world to us. They have to. I mean, we can't let them keep us out of church, but she knows that we're going to church, and she goes, when do I got to go? She knows that we're going to church, and that's important to my wife and myself. But your family needs to matter, and you need to love your family and to support them. But in 1 Timothy, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever if you don't take care of your family, if you don't take care of your family. You need to do that. That's your duty. Your family matters to you. Your family should matter to you. Psalms chapter 127 and verse 5. God help my sister. Lord help my sister. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. But listen, the first part of that verse. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them, speaking of children. You know what a quiver is. Does anybody know what a quiver is? It's not somebody going like, oh, well, that's cold. It's what you put your arrows in. That's the quiver. And happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Because if you go out to war and your utensil that you're supposed to put your arrows in is not full and doesn't have but maybe one arrow in it, then you are going to be a little unhappy. But happy is the man that has his quiver full. And his babies sit around the table like olive plants all around. And he can look and enjoy and say, look what the Lord has blessed me with. Or he can say, oh, look what the Lord has blessed me with. How does your dad say that about you guys? Does he just smile about it and say, look what the Lord's blessed me with? Yeah, he does. Because I look at you and I'm proud of you for him. Except for, mate. Him too. Thank you, Lord. Family is important, should be important. You know, I look at you guys and I've seen you from every facet of your life. I've seen you from when you go, and you sounded like a chainsaw when you cried. He did. His daddy used him for like, then he went, he did just like that. But family should matter to every one of us. Help us. As I'm getting older, family is starting to mean more to me than it did before. So help us, God, to love and honor our family. Love. Love matters. Loving one another matters a lot. We need to keep each other and held high and love each other, provoking each other in love. You know, I love my wife. I love her to the point where I would lay my life down for her. I would do anything for her. Well, maybe not that, no. There's some stuff I wouldn't do that if she told me to do it, I wouldn't do it, you know. Like if she told me, well, here, would you put my dress on so I could hem it up a little bit? And I'm like, no, I just can't go there. Oh, we found out who's the model in the house now. Thank you, Lord. No, brother, I'm just messing with you. But love matters, real love. You know, there's a woman that I met, and she put her hand in my hand, and then all of a sudden, Brother Gary, I just like, I think I like this girl a lot. I think I like her a whole lot. And two more dates after that, I was in love. I mean, I think I fell in love when the hand went in mine, and it was just the start of the seed, you know, and then just, but love means a lot. In Esther chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "And the king loved Esther above all women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set a royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." Almost makes you tear up a little bit. It's beautiful. It's that I love my wife above all women, and I would put a crown on your head and make you my queen. So we need to know that love matters. Not just the love that we have between wife and husband, but the love that you have for mom and dad and vice versa, and for brother and brother and brother love, brotherly love. We need to love each other. First Peter says this, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins." 1 John says, "And this is the commandment that we have from him, that we who loveth God loveth his brother also." You know, that's one of the scriptures that God gave me one time when that I found out that, yeah, I'm really saved. That if I loved God, then I loved my brothers and I love my family. Yes, I do. So yes, Lord, I love you, God. And I figured out the devil, and I said, yes, by your word, I do. I do, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So you need to remember that love matters. And there's a thing that really matters in our life is to live with honor. To live with honor and goodness. To honor those that are around you, and to be an honorable man. You see, I look at the life of Brother Joe Chastain, and he lived with honor. He was an honorable man. He honored his mother and his father, and he honored God, and he honored the church, and he just lived with honor in his life. We all, as the people of God, need to be honorable people and let people to look up to us and say that, yes, they live with honor. This thing that is called honor truly matters in our lives. You need to be an honorable man and an honorable woman. You need to let the Spirit of God lift you up and give you the strength and give you the mind of Christ, that you will walk with honor. Yesterday, as I was, the Lord was speaking to me, and I was looking up, and there was a flag on the wall, and I was just standing there, kind of just stopped in my tracks, and the Spirit of God was speaking to my heart, and he said, and you know what else matters, Cliff? He said that honor matters. Honor matters. It matters in the life of a Christian, because you have to be an honorable man and an honorable woman. You must be honorable before all men, so that you'll be the examples that God can show the world what they need to be and where they need to go. Some people just need an example in this world. They can't go by the word of God. They have to see a living example. And that's what we as a people of God need to be today. Be the honorable people that can stand and let God shine from our lives through the honor that you show them in this world. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger man as brethren. Honor one another." I remember Mama used to tell me, respect your elders. She taught me how to say, yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Thank you. You're welcome. I was taught to do that. Those things came along in my lifetime that's the way that you're supposed to be. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. You live with honor. Show your honor before all men, and let men see you be as an honorable person. Church. Church matters. church matters. I know that unless you are physically unable to be in church, or you live somewhere so far out from the church and you can serve God at home, got to be careful when you're trying to serve God at home by yourself, because you'll lose your fire. We gain strength one from another, folks. We gain strength one from another. We have to be in the church, in the house of God. There's a lot of folks that get disgusted and get too lazy and don't want to go to church, and so they want to have home church. Maybe they're gathering people but those that are not and are too lazy to get up and honor God by going to church need to be careful of where they're walking and how they're walking. You guys remember the story that Brother Joe told of the old man that stopped going to church? The pastor came over to talk to him and sat down in front of the fireplace with him as they began to talk and have a little coffee. He didn't ask him why you're not in church, and he didn't give him a long, drawn-out sermon and didn't try to shame him or anything like that. But as they sit there and they talked, and the old pastor leaned forward and got the tongs off of the little stand there next to the fireplace, and he reached into the fire and he drew off one of the embers of the fire and set it on the hearth. And they continued to talk about the weather and about things that are going on. And, you know, you hear so-and-so caught a fish about that big. And you know, yeah, I heard about that, man. That was a dandy fish there. And they still kept talking on a little bit. And then all of a sudden, they both looked down at that ember that was drawn from the fire. It was black and cold and hard. And the old brother the pastor came to see, he looked over at the pastor, and he looked at that dark black ember and picked it up with his hand. And he said, "That's a pretty good sermon there, Pastor." Threw it back into the fire, and it started to light back up and turn orange again. And he goes, "I'll be in church next Sunday." We have each other that we gain strength from, and we gain the fortitude to be able to press on. You can't do this all alone. You got to be with the people of God. In Ephesians, it says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. If you're not in church, then you're not receiving that edifying that you need, that strengthening that you need, that lifting up that you need. Has anybody here ever gone to one of the brothers? And you know, last week, I came to the altar, and I just had to touch the Lord and speak to God. And as I got to the altar, sometimes it gets cold there. You know, it just feels cold, and you feel alone. And you don't mean to. You're in a room full of people, but you do. You feel a little bit alone. But you're speaking to God and talking to God, and then all of a sudden, you feel a warm hand touch your shoulder and begin to speak out and weep and cry and pray and stand there with you and love on you and let the Spirit of God from them kind of just get into you and you drew strength. I drew strength from that. My brother Dave come up from behind me and put his hand on me, and he began to pray and he began to weep before God before me, and he began to stand in the gap with me. And I thank God for that tonight, because if we don't have that, we won't be able to make the walk all the way by ourselves. We have to be able to stand one another with one another. When you get into a mess, if my cousin hadn't have been there to shine that light for me, what would have happened? What could have happened? I might have fell in the river, and I might not be up here preaching tonight. So the church matters. You have to get together. You have to come together. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, he says, "Now therefore, Ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple. We as the people of God, we are the house of God. This is just a building. But we are fitly framed together. When we're fitly framed together, when you build a house and we frame a house up, we build the front wall and the back wall starting off. We frame them all up and we get them 2x4s in there, put the windows in where they're supposed to be, put the doors in where they're supposed to be. Then we sheet it off and we cover it up, and then we get ready to lift that wall, and we jack it up with a big crowbar, and we stick a 2x4 under each end. And then we get a wall jack, and then because those two big walls are too heavy for three men to pick up, and we wrap cables around it and we stand that wall jack up and attach it to the floor, and then we lift those walls up. And those walls come up and they creak and they pop, and then we get them to the point where that we can put braces on them, and then we shoot them down into the floor on the red line, making sure that it's fitly and framed together and on each end. Hey, you flush down there? Yeah, I am. Put a nail in it. Okay, let's go. Put braces on her. Nail the braces down. Then we go build the end wall. Then we get the end walls built, and we get we leave part of the top plate off, which ties the walls together. We lift the walls up because those are usually short enough for a few men to lift. We lift those walls up and we stand them up and we nail it down and we put and frame over the top of the corners, and it's fitly framed together. You hope. Or you're going to have to get the cat's claw out and start tearing stuff out and fix it so that it is. We as the people of God, we're meshed together. And then after we get done with the building, with the inside walls, with the trusses, and with everything else, and the wind blows, that house doesn't move. The rain comes down, the inside stays dry. Because it's held together like it's supposed to be. Braces where it's supposed to be braced. Anything that needs to be tied down has already been tied down. And then we can finish off the whole thing. And then a family moves in. We as the people of God, we have to come together as all those 2x4s and 2x6s and those roof trusses and all those things come together and are nailed down and put in a particular spot. That is where we are. We are the people of God. There is some that preach, some that teach, some that listen, some that sing, and some that don't sing, and some that you wish they wouldn't. And I am the guy that you guys wished wouldn't sing, because I sing in the key of Z. Still can't beat Brother Lenny, because he could sing in four different keys in the same song. I want to close with this scripture here. In Hebrews, it's a familiar scripture, but you don't hear it quoted very often here. You know, I just haven't heard it quoted in a long time. But Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, starting at 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. One more time. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. There are many that have forsaking the assembling of themselves together. I can do it all alone. I can serve God at home. I can do this. I can do that. But it's not the way that God ordained the things to be. And if it's not the way that God's will wants it to be, then you will fall flat on your face. But don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. iron sharpens iron. You know, sometimes my nose isn't near. Sometimes you've made me mad preaching at me. Oh, I'd be like that, and I would have the audacity to be offended. But then I'd go think about it, and then I'd think, he's right. You know, when Brother Joe said that, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. When he said that, oh, how dare you. But don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, lifting each other up, giving each other strength, putting your arm around one of your brothers, loving on them and speaking to them and praying for them, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day that the Lord. The day when Jesus comes. The day when Jesus calls us home. The day when the horn and the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise and we will be lifted up and we'll just go home. We'll just go home. Don't be, as the movie art says, left behind. I don't want to be the ones that's left behind. You know, Sister Norma, when me and Brother Gary went to do street ministry, and I'm so thinking myself so high and mighty that I thought to myself that, because Gary, he says, you know, I'm reading my track. And she goes, that's good. You need to know what your information you're passing out. And I'm like, oh, man. I'll never get to get out there. He'll be out there for 3 days. He'll be out there for a month, and I'll still be in here reading my track. I felt like that I was a failure. I felt that I wouldn't be one that was going to go. But she lined us up with the ammunition, and she looked at both of us, and she said, well, you can spend the rest of the night on the streets. What a motherly person she was. Hit the streets, boys. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We will. And I believe, and I hope that I did, and I know my brother Gary did. I hope that I walked with honor, and I showed the example of God in my life. But you see, be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Thank you, Jesus. I hope that something I said tonight might have encouraged you, may have given you something to stand on tonight. So if you'll stand with me.